Heck, what do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castle.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Mouse and Castle podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us today. Hoping you're having a magical Disney-fied week so far. So far, hopefully. I know we are. And by we, I mean my good buddy and yours, Mr. Aaron Goins. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Riley. I'm curious about today's episode.
Curious. Curious.
I'm very curious.
You're curious, are you?
I am. I just saw some of the, like, I haven't seen Dumbo yet, and you have. And
I have.
Just some of the kind of instant reaction. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm curious to hear Riley's thoughts. Not spoilery thoughts, but,
yes.
You know, just thoughts.
You know, let's not dilly-dally. I'm just going to jump straight into that. So on today's show, we're going to give my spoiler-free impression of Dumbo. I just saw it this past weekend. Just came out. We're going to talk a little bit about, and this is going to be kind of a free-for-all episode in some ways, because there's not a lot of news per se that we're going to really get into, but we have a lot of like personal updates of things we're planning on for Disney. So we're going to give you guys the latest on our journey to the two planned Disney trips. I imagine there might be one or two other surprise ones in the mix there somewhere, but the two planned Disney trips that we have for the remainder of the year, of that, of course, being the upcoming Galaxy's Edge trip in June and the Run Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon in November. So we're going to give you an update on that and then touch a little bit on news as well. So without further ado, Dumbo. So how much has this been on your radar? Because I've heard different things from people in my friend circle of people like, wait, there's a Dumbo movie coming out? And then there are some people who I heard who really wanted it to be good, and I was just giving my impression of it after I walked out of the theater this past weekend. But I don't know, where was it on your radar of the plethora of live-action Disney movies coming out this year, Aaron?
I mean, Dumbo's definitely one of the Disney movies that I'm not as familiar with. Like, I know I watched it some as a kid, and I haven't really revisited it recently.
Yeah.
And so it's not on the same level as some of the other, you know, live-action ones that they've announced. You know, obviously with Aladdin and Lion King, those movies were much more formative for me than Dumbo
ever was. Those
being
the other two coming out this year.
Right. So I was interested in Dumbo mostly because of the previews I had seen for it and knowing that it was a Tim Burton movie, and just kind of seeing the previews and kind of seeing that spin on it. I was like, okay, this could actually be interesting. This could be really cool. And I know you and I had talked about some level of excitement for this movie just because of the marketing.
Yes. No, and my first exposure to it, like a lot of the stuff that's coming out this year, was when I was at D23 a year and a half ago, two summers ago, and they unveiled a sort of life-sized model maquette of Dumbo on stage, and they showed they'd already shot part of the film, so they showed some stills of like Colin Farrell and some of the other cast. Trying to remember who all is in the cast. I'm going to pull that up just for IMDb references.
Yeah, I know Colin Farrell and Danny DeVito are kind of the big names. Oh, and then Michael Keaton.
Yes, Michael Keaton, who's probably he's really the star of the show, really. But I'll get into that in a second. So we've had just this plethora of Disney live action remakes or sequel-ish things, whether it's just off the top of my head, Maleficent, going back, Alice in Wonderland, some of those earlier on ones, or more recently stuff like Jungle Book, as an example. I'm trying to think of what else.
Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella.
Beauty and the Beast, of course, Cinderella. So there've been a bunch of these, and a lot of the sentiment I hear when I just talk about these to other just everyday humans that are just in my real circle of friends, the reaction is typically like, oh boy, just all the money grab all these remakes. And that's usually, I don't know if that's your experience, Aaron, but I hear that reaction a lot when it comes to these sort of live action remakes of like, why do we need another Dumbo? But for me going in, I've really enjoyed, especially like Beauty and the Beast, I've really enjoyed some of these remakes. And I think we had this whole conversation on the show where I will go to my grave defending the fact that in the remake of Beauty and the Beast, they added more character depth and a better paced and better sung movie than the original. Just, I will do that. I will die on that hill. Yeah, I know everyone
you can be
needs,
wrong. That's fine. Everyone's entitled to be wrong.
I just do an A-B test of the opening bell versus Emma Watson's bell, and just tell me who's better. I feel like
yeah. You're gonna say Emma Watson's bell's better than the original?
1,000%. Come at me, bro.
Yeah, this is a generational thing. For sure.
Yeah, that's true. Well, mouseandcastle@gmail.com if you want to weigh in.
Tell
us what you think. I feel like that's a more fun debate. We should do like a whole episode where I'm just going to be that obnoxious and go through each soundtrack and just do the A-B comparison. Actually, that might be fun with some of the musicals as they come out. I guess Dumbo wasn't really a musical, but certainly with Lion King, I'll be interested to see what some of those absolutely classic songs like Hakuna Matata sound like in the original versus the remake. That'll be interesting.
I'm interested for Aladdin because in the marketing so far, they haven't really leaned too heavy on the music. It's all been very music free with a couple of cues popping in here and there.
They do like the epic trailer version of the music, right? Bwah, bwah, bwah. I don't know if you remember that. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, but if you watch the trailers for Aladdin, if you're not familiar with Aladdin, you wouldn't even think it's a musical.
I know you got it.
Yeah, I just pulled up the trailer to it just now. In fact, they released it on Will Smith's YouTube channel because you know he's a vlogger now.
Of course. Where else would you?
That's what you're going to do. And it's, of course, him in, hey, guys, it's not blue. I know you wanted the blue. I mean, didn't want the blue. I mean, didn't want the blue. Wait, the poor Disney. Nobody can figure out. Everyone seems to universally hate, and I'm exaggerating here, but the Will Smith genie, but it's with no consistency. It's either because he's blue or because he's not blue.
We need a percentage of screen time that he's blue versus not blue. We need to know that.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys have been waiting, and here's the very first trailer for Aladdin. Here's the very first trailer. Don't get dizzy, though. Don't get dizzy before we start the trailer. Don't get dizzy. Oh.
And he's picking up his vlog camera. It's very... That's a weird... That thing I just watched, the Will Smith vlog intro to a trailer, is... That's weird. That's a thing that just happened.
This is the world we live in now.
It is the world. You know who really started this whole... The star introduces the product on their personal social media platforms is Dwayne Johnson. Yeah, he's the one.
I knew where you're going with this.
Well, and because we talked about the Jungle Cruise movie he's doing, where he's doing that same kind of promotion, but he was doing that when he was, I want to say, with Fast and Furious. He did like his own stuff. Certainly with the Gorilla movie, the George, and Skyscraper, all the other stuff he's been doing. He like promotes it within the content that he's creating. In Will Smith's case, it's the vlog, and then so that just again. But here's the trailer, and you know what? We didn't talk about this trailer last time. This is the like official theatrical trailer, unless I'm going crazy, and we did, but I'm like 90% sure we didn't. Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, we talked about the Super Bowl spot.
That's right. So, well, let's take a quick, since we got on the topic before we jump into Dumbo. We'll take this little side jack, take a listen right here. Street rat. Again, there's that music. Da 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 da. The pretty girl.
You stumbled upon an opportunity. I can make you rich. Rich enough to impress a princess.
What would I have to do?
There's a cave of wonders. Bring me the lamp.
Yep, you see the blue powder, and here he is.
Oh, great one who summons me, I stand by my oath, loyalty to wishes three.
I'm kidding. Watch this.
Watch out!
You done wound me up. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Y'all see my palace?
You look like a prince on the outside. But I didn't change anything on the inside. Showtime.
No, I'm in charge, okay? I say when it's done.
He disappears.
Really?
So again, it's a very light reference of the music in the background.
Do you trust me?
Coming out this May.
So I stand corrected. They did the whole new world. They definitely.
That's where they really like, yeah. But they even went friend like me. That was pretty on the nose. But they do like their little orchestral remix. I gotta say, lots better. In fact, I'm gonna jump down to the end of our show notes. I put it in the feedback section. But since we're talking about it here, at Devin Reed on Twitter. Replied when this trailer launched and we posted about it. And by the way, if you like Devin, you can follow us at Mouse and Castle on Twitter. But he said to us, looking much better than the last trailer. It's got everything I loved about the live action remake so far, the familiar elements along with some new and unexpected surprises. And that does, it seems like familiar elements, but definitely willing to do some twists along the way. Kind of like Beauty and the Beast. This is much more of the sort of Beauty and the Beast format that I'm seeing in this trailer.
Yeah, I agree. I think this trailer makes me feel a lot better than the kind of little teaser that we got about Will Smith. And I think that they showed some good humor. There was moments I laughed at in the trailer, and then there was some heart, you know, where you can be like, okay, I feel like this could be a good movie.
Yeah.
But then there's still things that you're like, oh, I don't know. You know, like Will Smith still is such a larger than life actor. I have a hard time not just seeing him and not the genie.
Especially when he introduces the trailer on his vlog.
Yeah.
In costume. In genie
I feel
costume.
Like this could be a make or break a role for him. That this, if this doesn't turn out well, this may be the last we see of this guy for a while. Because I feel like he's already had a couple bad choices recently with roles.
What was the movie he did with his son? That was awful.
Yeah.
Can't think of it off the top.
It's like After Earth or something, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That was like...
Well, then he just did that Netflix movie that was called... I think it was called like Bright or...
Was that not good?
I don't remember. No, that kind of got, you know, poo-pooed all over. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But definitely a different take on Jafar, too.
Yeah.
Than we're used to seeing. But I'm still optimistic, right? I mean, kind of bringing it back to Dumbo... Because you were kind of getting into that discussion a little bit, like where do you stand on these live action remakes after seeing Dumbo? Is this I know it's not getting the greatest reviews. Is this something where?
I'll jump into that then. So kind of look as we look ahead at Lion King and all the other 17 live action remakes that are coming. I've really enjoyed most of them, and I've really liked a few of the remakes. Dumbo falls into that category. Unfortunately, like my overall impression of the movie coming out of the movie is that it was just a little bland, unfortunately. And, what I mean by that is that the thing that works about the movie that's really good is Dumbo and Dumbo's relationship with Mama Dumbo. And the real sense of pain and sorrow and empathy that you have for the baby elephant and the strain that comes there is, you know, she's taken away at once taken away, and they go on the journey to reunite amongst, you know, all the various other subplots of the movie. That's what really works. What doesn't work so well in the movie is everything else. So you have like, I'd say like 33% of a really good movie, but all of these, Colin Farrell and his two kids and Danny DeVito's character are all just very kind of bland and predictable. in a way that just you don't want to root for them. And this is a very personal thing. I don't know. Other people may or may not feel this way, but I just felt like you just didn't have any reason to empathize or root for any of the humans in the movie. The one slight exception, though, is that what's his face? I this is why I have to have the Michael Keaton. I have to have the IMDb up here. Michael Keaton is just scene stealer as the villainous Mr. Vandermeer, who's like the big corporate entertainment circus. He's like the upside down evil Walt Disney, basically, in the movie, who's like convinces. The leader of the circus, Danny DeVito's character, Medici, and he convinces him to like sell the Dumbo act to the big corporate, you know, event theme park world in New York, which is kind of like a Disney. It's very much like a Disney park. And so no spoilers on the ending or anything, or specific plot details, but, Eva Green's character is Colette, Colin Farrell is Holt and his two kiddos, and all the supporting cast just fall a little bit flat, and you find yourself in the movie kind of wanting to just get back to Dumbo, and more Dumbo, less DeVito. that's sort of me for the whole movie. More Dumbo, less DeVito.
That's your four-word review. Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to stick to that one. And I guess... the experience was somewhat colored. My review may be somewhat biased in a negative direction by the experience of seeing it Friday night at 7 o'clock, surrounded by every 4-year-old in San Angelo, Texas, and every 4-year-old's family in San Angelo, Texas. And the only thing worse then a bunch of 4 to 7-year-olds in a theater all loudly commenting on and crying and making noise in a movie is their parents being just as bad and not stopping it, but actually participating along. And so like the family behind us was just talking at normal volume, very loudly, the entire movie.
And so that can definitely ruin a movie experience, because I had the same experience seeing Mary Poppins Returns and seeing Captain Marvel, which both movies underwhelmed me, but I also had a really bad experience as far as other people in the crowd. Like literally the kid sitting next to me during Captain Marvel was asking his dad everything that would come up on the screen he was asking him about, and his dad was answering him the entire movie at normal volume. And I'm like, this is really ruining this experience for me. So it can have an impact.
So I was there with some good friends of mine, Rachel and Tommy, they're a married couple, and also my girlfriend. We were all seeing it. And I think it made all of us independently, before we even talked about it after the movie, I think it single-handedly convinced all of us not to have kids. That's the ultimate conclusion. It was so bad.
Or just to be good parents.
Or that.
That's the opposite way.
That could be the other thing. No, it was bad. It was really bad. But so I guess my movie is, should you see it? Should you not see it? I mean, if you're listening to this show, go see it. It just wouldn't be like, it's not a must see by any stretch of the imagination for me. So I'd be interested to see, I'm curious what the audience review, because it's like 50-50 split on critics. Yeah, 49.
I feel like it was like a 63 or something for audience.
Yeah, here it is, 59% on audience. So doesn't seem to be doing super well on audience score. For
59 now, yeah, so it's dropped since I looked.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't. This is a Riley review.
Based on my comments, do you plan on seeing it? Are you going to take Quinn maybe?
I'll definitely see it. This is one that I would see no matter what I heard.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, I'm definitely going to get out and see it, and then I'll come back and see if I agree or disagree with your thoughts.
Yeah, and we'll see what your half is. Maybe you'll have no loud kids and you'll be able to enjoy it with your own kid and it'll be a much better experience. But there's the only other element is the sort of box office. I got a Forbes. Scott Mendelson has a piece called "A Dumbo Disappointment Highlights Disney's Biggest Problem, Box Office." It's projected out at about $343 million, which is about what Mary Poppins made, which both is considered a bit underperforming, especially considering it was a very expensive movie to make. It's like $174 million. So it falls in that category of not a whopping failure, but definitely way underperformed some of the other ones, like Beauty and the Beast and Jungle Book are sort of the powerhouse of the remakes, right? So it definitely doesn't get anywhere near those categories. Those are like billion-dollar movies worldwide. I think Beauty and the Beast was like 900 million, something ridiculous like that, worldwide. So it definitely,
I feel like Disney probably has kind of in their game plan, they know some of these aren't gonna hit as well.
Yeah.
So it's like you can have a couple that, as long as they make their money back, they're fine, because you're gonna have a couple that hit it in the park, and yeah, then it's gonna all kind of come out of the wash.
Disney wants one of the three: this, Aladdin, or Lion King, which is probably gonna be Lion King.
I think Lion King's the sure bet. Yeah.
To be that like near billion-dollar baby. And that's they've also got Toy Story 4 also comes out. Toy Story 4 is going to make all the money too. So
yeah.
It's a crowded summer. You've got
Avengers Endgame and Star Wars Episode 9 too, which I think both are pretty much guaranteed to cross that billion-dollar mark.
It's a crowded box office year. You've got Dumbo just came out. Next is Aladdin, May 24th. Well, no, Endgame, April. Aladdin is May. July is Lion King. June is Toy Story 4. June, Toy Story 4. July, Lion King. And then later in the year, of course, you've got Star Wars. It's a pretty crowded Disney year. So there you go. That's my thoughts. Dumbo definitely fall a little bit short in terms of what I was hoping it was and in terms of box office. But if you're as a Disney fan, definitely go see it. And like I say, Dumbo himself, adorable, beautifully done, wonderfully animated. Absolutely loved the way they handled him as a character. And you just root for the little guy. So that's definitely true. So the other thing we wanted to talk about on this week's episode is incredibly selfish of us, and that's just what we plan to do at Disney, because we have all kinds of updates since our last episode on our plans for Disney, and it relates to upcoming stuff at the parks. So I guess let's go in chronological order. And Aaron, what did you just do, 2 weeks ago?
I was down at Disney World. Yeah, I went for a work trip, but then I ended up sneaking off to Magic Kingdom. So I got to one park. But I did a lot of Disney Springs. I almost called it Downtown Disney. That shows how long I've been going there. But Disney Springs. And we actually did the Star Wars VR experience again, nice, which I had already done a couple times, which was cool. But then I got a chance to do the Ralph Breaks the Internet one.
Okay.
Which is a completely different experience. So if you've done the Star Wars one, don't think you know what VR is like or augmented reality is like for everything, because it's completely different if you go do the Wreck-It Ralph one.
Okay.
So I would recommend, if you get a chance, if you live near one of these that's doing the Ralph Breaks the Internet, go check it out, because I dare say it may have been better than the Star Wars one.
Really? Interesting.
For completely different reasons, more immersive, way more interactive.
Oh, nice. I like that.
More visually stunning.
I feel like something...
You feel like you're like in the... Like you know, when you watch Ralph Break the Internet, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're in the city, you know, the kind of that city of the internet. You can literally look down into the depths of this like never-ending internet city, like as you're... it feels like you're standing in a Disney movie, which I didn't feel like... The Star Wars one was quite that immersive, because it felt like you're really limited to these platforms and kind of shuttles. This felt much more like you're really in the movie, and like Ralph and Penelope are like right there next to you.
Oh, nice.
It's just like, this is really cool.
Well, I'm sure it's the kind of thing that would be easier to gamify something that's based on an arcade game.
Oh,
not
definitely.
Based on Star Wars, it seems like it'd be a little bit easier to do. Nice. And so you made it to the parks though too, right? Did you
did Magic Kingdom, and it was funny because we actually took the wrong monorail. Uh-oh. I was with a friend who hadn't been to Disney in a long time, and so I was kind of doing the whole like tour guide version of me at Disney World.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, so we get to the entrance, or we get to the transportation center, which is you can get on the right monorail, you can get on the wrong monorail, and we got on the one that takes you to Epcot. We were supposed to get on the one to take us to Disney World or to Magic Kingdom. So we ended up going to Epcot on accident and going through Epcot, like, because the monorail actually goes all the way through the park and comes back around. So it was actually a pretty cool accident because we ended up getting to see visually the Flower and Garden Festival, even though we weren't able to go to the park itself. We are actually we got a little tour of it through just on the monorail. So I actually was like, oh, this is kind of a cool accident that I would recommend to people. If you only have time to go to Magic Kingdom, just get on the monorail that goes through Epcot just to get a quick view before you go to Magic Kingdom.
There you go. Nice.
So that was cool. But then we just did Magic Kingdom, hit a few rides and walked around, got some food and saw the fireworks show, which, man, that fireworks show is so amazing.
It's been a while since I've seen it, to be honest. I'm trying to – what's it called?
Happily Ever After.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's really good. But yeah, I was happy that I just at least got to go to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But unfortunately didn't get to hit any other parks.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But, you know, we will pretty soon. You and I will be reunited, and it feels so good, because we're going to Disneyland, and we have now nailed down the dates that we will be traveling to Disneyland for Galaxy's Edge. A mere, what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks. 3 weeks after it opens. 3 weeks? Something like that. Close.
Yeah, it's just about, I think it's just over 2 weeks.
Basically after. Opening day, okay, guys?
Yeah. We tried. And we're crossing our fingers based on all the fine print that we'll actually be able to get into Galaxy's Edge.
That's the weird, it's still up in the, it's so weird. I barely understand
They're really putting out a lot of disclaimers with this, saying, hey, if you come, you're not guaranteed to get in. Even if you get one of the reservations, you're not guaranteed to get in.
That's in the fine print.
That's how crowded they're expecting it to be, which is kind of crazy because Disney's super careful with that stuff. And I think they're a little scared of how big of a draw this is going to be.
I remember in one of the earnings calls, this is how we learn a lot of Disney news, is of course when Bob Iger gets on the phone with the shareholders. And this is a couple weeks ago. No, maybe a couple months ago. And he's like, as far as when we're going to announce opening dates, we'll probably just like randomly open it on a day. Enough marketing's been done. There's more people than it can ever fit. He like said that glibly on the phone. He's like, we don't need to advertise people to come. And he's kind of right, is what it sounds like. So essentially what we ended up doing is the resort reservation, because that's what guarantees you the opportunity to have a reservation. I forget the exact way they word it, but basically you get your shot at a reservation for everyone who's on the booking for the resort. And so that's what we figured, that the most likely, rather than try to do their online system, which is still offline, right? That hasn't gone up yet, has it? I don't think so. I'm sure I would have heard.
Yeah, nothing. It's been kind of quiet. So yeah, they haven't announced anything as far as the official, you know, when you can go in and reserve a spot to get into Galaxy's Edge. But we knew that by booking a room at one of the Disneyland resorts, we were guaranteed a reservation, but not guaranteed entry, if that makes sense.
Although, I don't know what else a reservation would be, but I think they're just like doing the legal fine print just to cover their butts a little bit. So that's basically what we do. We got a room at Paradiso. It's Paradise Pier, I believe.
Yes.
Which I've never been to. In fact, I'm trying to think of the last time. I've almost never stayed at an actual Disney property. The cabin, Saratoga Springs, I think.
Yeah. I've never stayed at a Disneyland hotel.
Yeah,
so this will be my first time as well.
Yeah. Paradise Pier. I was
I'm excited. They're supposed to be really nice, and it's in like all of it is walking distance to the park, so it's not like some of the Disney World resorts where you still have to take a shuttle or you still have to take a rail. This is literally like walking distance. So we'll be central to both parks. I think the plan is to hit both parks, right?
Yes, the plan is to hit both parks. We don't have the exact schedule. We'll probably do, I mean, Galaxy's Edge itself will be that Friday we'll probably get a chance, just depending on how I'm able to get out there. I actually haven't booked my flights yet because I don't freaking know where I'm going to be flying in from because of it's the life as an Air Force officer. There's a couple different trainings I could be. Regardless, I'll be able to make it, I know, that weekend. But I'll either be coming in from South Carolina or I'll be coming in from Las Vegas, one of the two. Probably South Carolina is what it looks like right now, which means I'll be able to actually take leave. Aaron, this is me telling Aaron, guys, by the way, he hasn't heard, we haven't talked about this yet, but why not on the podcast? I'll be coming in, Thursday night or the earliest flight or fly through Friday morning, just to try to really get that full Friday as well. I know, nice. Aaron, you're probably trying to get an earlier Friday if possible too.
Yeah, just depending, I think so.
Just depending on how the schedules work. But of course, yeah, Bethany will be there. My girlfriend Savannah is going to be there, which is that ought to be fun. Savannah gets, and she's been a super trooper about it. She's like, oh no, it's cool. It's grand Star Wars nerd time. I understand. But she's coming along for the ride. So this is the first time she'll really, we're really going to be in our max Star Wars nerdery element around my girlfriend. So that'll be interesting.
This is the true test.
I know, right? I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. And then, yeah. And
William Devereaux is going to be joining us.
Oh, that's
too,
right. William's going to be with us, and then possibly a few other people. So we'll definitely stay tuned on our social media as we get out there. But I'm excited to really do a full Disneyland weekend. This feels like a first proper Disneyland vacation, because we're going to try to do the two days at the park and staying at the resort and walking distance, all that. I've been to Disneyland a fair amount in the last year, but it's always been the fly in, do one day and staying at a cheap Airbnb type thing and then getting out of there. So it'll be nice to experience that.
Yes. And if you're listening to the podcast, there's a chance there's other people that are as crazy as us.
Yes.
That will be joining us, in that first month of release for Galaxy's Edge. And I would highly recommend go to the website, read as much as you can about kind of how they're doing it, because it's different than we expected. You know, I actually got on chat with a customer service rep and asked some really specific questions.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure that we understood what we were getting in for. They're not doing fast pass type things. So there could be, a super long line for the one ride that's actually open, and you might not even get on that ride. So, and they're only opening Galaxy's Edge for your reservation slot for a limited amount of time. So you can't just go there in the morning and hang out at Galaxy's Edge all day. You will have a time period that you can be in there. So there's a lot of fine print. There's a lot of disclaimers. I would highly recommend go to the website, go to Disneyland.com, and read all of that information before you plan a trip to go see Galaxy's Edge, especially if it's in that first month of it being open.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I was just looking at the Paradise Pier website. There's a rooftop pool with a water slide. They have a Donald Duck character dining. You can see the fireworks show from the hotel. Ooh. Hmm. I'm excited, man.
We're going to be
excited.
Tempted to stay longer.
I know. The Air Force can wait, right? I don't think they care if you don't show up for duty, right? That doesn't matter. No, spoiler alert, they do. I'm excited, and we'll keep you guys updated. The other thing is Run Disney. Less details on this because it's further out, but Aaron, you want to walk us through our other Disney plan that has now basically spent a lot of money getting ready to go out to Disney in the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, Run Disney, real quick, before we get to the one we're doing in November, there is the summer series that's happening. They just announced it. They just opened registration. Well, it's been announced, but they just opened registration, and they just revealed the medals. It's all Marvel-themed.
This is the virtual run, right?
Yeah, this is a virtual run 5Ks. They do three months during the summer, three different virtual 5Ks. If you do all three, you get the medal for doing all three as well. So they have an Iron Man medal, they have a Black Panther medal, and they have a Captain Marvel medal. And then if you do all three, you get the 80th anniversary Marvel medal.
Ooh.
So me and Quinn are going to do the Iron Man one because we just think that medal looks really cool.
Yeah.
And so we're going to run that one, just grab that medal. But if you're going to do those, I definitely recommend registering soon,
because
they do sell out.
Oh, even the virtual ones sell out.
Yeah,
how much? How much are we talking? How much are one of these virtual medals going to set you back?
They are, I believe, $60-something. So it's somewhere between $60 and $70 for a medal.
Hmm.
And what we'll probably do is we'll just get one registration, and then me and Quinn will run it together, and then we'll kind of share the medal. Yeah. That's what we did for the Incredibles one last summer.
Yeah.
So I'm not paying $120 for us to both run the same virtual race, but. So that's happening. But then we are going to be doing the Wine and Dine half marathon, which seems to be becoming a recurring thing for us. At least, this will be my third in a row of this specific half marathon. That
oh wow, that's true.
Is
because I missed November, last year.
Forgetting the exact date. Is it
remember?
Second or
remember the 3rd of November. November 3rd.
So yeah, because November 3rd is a Sunday. So something really cool, Riley. I don't know if we've talked about this or not, but the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party usually ends on Halloween,
okay,
which would be that Thursday. Mm-hmm. But this year they're extending it to the November 1st, which is Friday, which is usually the day we get there.
Oh,
so we could literally go down there on Friday and then hit the very last Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party.
Yep, yep. Uh-huh.
And then hit the parks on Saturday and then do the race on Sunday. So we can do that whole combined Disney thing that we always talk about doing.
I'm 1,000% in, because I was already talking to Savannah, my girlfriend, about this, and we were planning on going down. We were hoping to do like a few days early, like go down on Thursday and then do Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So you'll already be there on Friday for Mickey's Not So Scary.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were thinking. Obviously, we haven't locked that in quite yet, but it's
in this race, man. It sold out so fast.
2 days, my friend, or maybe it was two or three days. It's sold
out. Which is crazy, because I know the first time we ran this race, we didn't even register until August.
I know, right? And there was still registration. Yeah.
So
and there was spoiler alert, we registered for the race, so it's a thing. But it's a good thing we registered in that first day. It was one of those like last minute. Whoop, got to dip into savings here a little bit for me, because it was just last minute. Wasn't expecting the cost, but it just popped up, and I knew it would probably sell out fast. And I'm glad we snagged it quickly, because yeah, 2 or 3 days it was gone.
The 10K was already gone before you and I registered. And then we got in for the half. And then by the time my friend John went to register for the half, that was already sold out. So he didn't even get in.
Yeah.
So now if you are wanting to run this race and you're disappointed right now because we're talking about it being sold out, there are still ways to get into the race even if it's sold out. Mm-hmm. And so you can get in through a travel agency, which is the way I had to do it last time.
Yeah.
And then you can also get in through, if you run through like a charity, you can run for a good cause, and then you can get in that way and just get people to kind of do some fundraising with you. So there are other ways to get in. So don't, like, not all hope is lost if you were really wanting to run this race, but the regular registrations are completely full.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And one other Disney update. Unless I'm missing anything, Aaron, I wanted to hit this other one really quickly before we go. That is for, I'm actually going down to Orlando this coming weekend for a family get together. I guess it's kind of a family reunion of sorts. But I'm going out there, and the reason this kind of started is some of my in-laws, my sister's husband and all of his family were going, because like one of his brothers was doing the Star Wars half marathon at Run Disney that weekend. And I didn't even realize that's how this thing started, but it ended up being like this big, like, kind of family get together. And so I'm flying out for this. And so I'm not doing the race or anything, because I'm just going to be there at like the big Airbnb on Saturday and coming back Sunday. But I say all that to say, for those like my in-laws who have this opportunity, for those who are running the Star Wars Rival Run weekend and are staying at a Walt Disney World resort, have a new option for booking Run Disney 2019 and 2020 hotel packages that weekend while they're there, or for that this like 10-day window. And so basically what they can do is they have this booking window for the Wine and Dine half marathon. So they could book for that if they hadn't. That would be one way to do that. Or the 2020 Walt Disney World weekend in April. That's the marathon weekend. And you can register for that as well. So, and I think the hotel, the resort package includes the ticket to the race. I don't have those exact details in front of me. But that also applies to the 2020 Princess half and the 2020... Star Wars Rival Run as well. So that seems to be this thing where they kind of encourage you to, that I guess is putting a bit of an advantage on those who run these pretty regularly. You can just book a resort package. And that's probably really where they make the money on an event like this, is even though the race tickets are expensive, I think it's those, you know, resort stays that are going to really make the difference.
Yeah, and like I was talking before about booking with a travel agent, that's all in partnership with Disney. Yeah. So Disney actually sells some entries to the travel agencies, and then the way that they get you is you can't just go through a travel agency and say, I just want to run the race. They'll say, oh, no, you have to stay at least 2 nights at a Disney resort, and you have to get at least 2 days' worth of tickets to the parks.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're going to go through, you know, obviously through Disney and do one of the packages, or if you can go through a travel agent, it's going to include the, you know, requirement that you're staying at a Disney resort, that you're getting park tickets. Be prepared for that extra spend.
Definitely. And that's the way it's done. Well, hey, folks, we're going to get ready to wrap up the episode here in a second. But as we get ready to do so, I want to highlight our latest iTunes review. Some from April, just April. Shout out to April. Thanks so much for leaving us a review on iTunes. She says, let me pull it up here. Oh, I listened to Riley on the Star Wars Report and he announced the podcast. I had to check it out. Oh, thanks, April. She says, I'm a huge Disney park and Disney fan, so it's great to get updates for the parks and other Disney things in the podcast. Good job, guys. Thanks, April. And that's definitely, leave us iTunes reviews. It's a really great way to get the word out about the show and share the show and help us in those iTunes rankings. And also, I'll probably read it on the show if it says nice things about me. that's the thing. That's the new thing.
That's what all our reviews are. Riley's great, and there's another guy too.
I don't know. Except he doesn't.
I want to review.
Anything.
Like, if you're a big Aaron Goins fan, leave a review. Yeah. Shout it out.
There you go. Yeah, say it loud. If you want to read bad reviews about Riley, just go to the Star Wars Reports iTunes reviews. But yeah, that's going to bring this week's episode to a close of Mouse and Castle. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, stay in touch with us in between shows. The best way to do that is on social media. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Mouse and Castle. And of course, Instagram is the place to be, at Mouse and Castle. And follow us there. We'll be posting on our stories. We may even be doing some Instagram lives as we get to head out to Galaxy's Edge, perhaps. So that's a great way to stay in touch with us in between the shows. Aaron can be found at AV Goins on Instagram and Twitter. And then I'm at The Riley Guy, just about everywhere there is social media. And then finally, specifically, and only if you have comments on the ongoing debate of the Emma Watson version of Belle versus the crappy animated sing-songy version of Belle. You can email us mouseandcastle@gmail.com, mouseandcastle@gmail.com. We love your emails, want some participation, and we'll read them on the show and talk about it. mouseandcastle@gmail.com. That's going to bring episode 15 of the Mouse and Castle podcast to a close. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed your weekly dose of Disney magic in the Mouse and Castle.
If we actually did it weekly,
you know, it's habit. It's habit.
At least every 3 weeks.
It's like an average. Oh man, I'm gonna stop the recorder. Let's see. There we go. Look at that. Oh, that's cool. Oh. Because I forgot it was recording, but it literally just kind of tracks along. Oh, that's so cool. With the episode, look at that. I'm nerding out here a little bit. That's kind of cool that it did.
So it screen records
my secondary screen, which is what I reference for show notes and when I play videos or pull up articles. I put it all on that screen, so it's basically Joe Rogan, right? And so.
Well, Joe Rogan has an assistant do it.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't need an assistant. We're too badass. No. let's see. Well, hey, man, I'm going to let you go and roll into Star Wars Report here.
Oh, cool.
We're, we could just
I'm going to roll into getting my kids to bed.
That's a fair thing. Thanks for letting me take you away for a sec. I know you gotta get back to the family life, but I'll get it up tomorrow over lunch, probably tomorrow night. Tomorrow night I'll throw the MP3 in the drive, and I definitely won't be able to post it though, because this week we're getting into a crazy exercise, so it'll be long days. But I'll have it. I'll shoot you a messenger once it's in the drive.
Sounds good.
Yes, sirree. Talk to you soon.
See you, man.
All right. Bye-bye. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-bum. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-dum-bum. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-dum-bum.